These are the words I want to leave with you. 1 Kings 19, verse 16. And thou shalt anoint Elisha the son to be a prophet in thy room. Elisha the son shalt thou anoint to be a prophet in thy room. Is Elisha that I want to think about this morning? Can I just put the scene before you? Let me just remind you about this whole scene that we have. Elijah has come to the bottom of his ministry. He's come to the very time when he's got everything against him. He's done his very best in the Lord, with the Lord's help, in the being a prophet to him in that country. Now he has Ahab and Jezebel against him. And he goes and he sits, as you will know, under that juniper tree. He could do no more, and he's ready to give up. And he prays to the Lord, and he lays his whole soul before him. And the Lord says to him, 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. This is the very bottom of his ministry. And although I'm not a full-time minister myself, I'm an itinerant preacher sent out by the Strict Baptist Chapel at Wallachian. Although I'm just an itinerant preacher, I too know what it's like to be at the bottom of a ministry. Not that I'm there now, you understand, I'm not saying that this morning. But there is a time, there is a place, there is a moment when the minister, and particularly those that are full time, such as your minister, must come. And I know you've experienced that here, that just at the right time, God sends a man to you. Some help. A family here, a family there. Well, God sends Elisha to Elijah. He sends Elisha, this man, because he is one of the 7,000, you see, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. He was to do the same work. He was to uphold the work and the word of God. Now God has his men for due time, and he sends them. And the work is always the same in principle. The gospel must go on. Now these verses here that we have around that story are verses of encouragement to us. And I bring you Elisha this morning, and I want to go through his life very, very briefly this morning. I know time always runs out. But we just want to mention one or two things. And I was so encouraged by this man Elisha. Oh, I'd read about him many times. But I read about him again. When everything was against Elijah, Elisha came. Now I want you to notice that he was going about his normal work, this man, Elisha. And we come to verse 19. So Elijah departed and found Elisha ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was going about his everyday work. He was doing the things that he knew best. He was doing the things, he was where he thought the Lord wanted him, and so forth and so on. He had no knowledge whatsoever of God's impending work for him. And that so often happens, doesn't it? In the ministry, in church life. That there is a job that's suddenly put upon us, that's given to us, and we take it as from the Lord. Because God is doing this thing with us, and for us, and for his church. There was no hint whatsoever of this. But here we see in verse 20, having met, and Elijah passed by him in verse 19 at the end, and cast his mantle upon him. Cast his mantle upon him. There was no question. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah in verse 20 and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother," and so forth and so on. This mantle. Now what about this mantle? The mantle in itself is nothing. There's nothing magic about this mantle, dear friends. But it was symbolic. It was a token of the work of the Holy Spirit upon Elisha. Now, let me say, first of all, we live in days when people get the wrong end of the stick, so to speak, as we say in Suffolk. and I say it regularly, they go for the Holy Spirit to such an extent that they forget about the mantle. It was the mantle that was put down by God through Elijah. It was thrown upon him. This is a token of the Holy Spirit, which we all receive at conversion. But here it was a special amount of a spirit that would come upon Elijah to fit him for the work. Now you might say there was a delay. Well, there was only a small delay. But he went with Elisha. He did that which was necessary at home. He said goodbye and so forth and so on. You know, that reminded me of those in Luke chapter 5. Let me very briefly read them to you in verse 11. These are the disciples. They've gone out. They've seen the master. They've heard him. Now they come back to shore with their fishes, and this is what they say. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And here we have Elisha. That mantle has fallen upon him from Elijah. And he's leaving all to follow Elijah and to follow God. Now he's going back to his normal work. He had an honest calling. But you know, the heavenly calling was much greater. Now we're all in callings which we believe to be right. Whatever we do in life, I believe it's a calling from God. But how much greater to get a heavenly calling? How much greater to have this work put upon us for the Master so that we can be of use to him? He was taken from the plough. Oh, he was ploughing, you see. He was cultivating the land. Simple, isn't it? He was sowing the seed. But he was to feed Israel. That's it. He was to feed Israel with the word of God. God took that simple demonstration of the plough and the land, and he's transported that into a spiritual realm. Like those beside the sea who were fishermen, and Christ said, "You will be fishers of men for me." See? And God took practical men in the scriptures. Have you noticed that? Like you and I, and women. And my dear friends, this feminist thing has always been in the scripture, hasn't it? God uses men as well as women, doesn't he? And he takes us with our practical skills and he transports that into the spiritual realm. And now Elisha had no premonition of this call. He had no idea that it was coming. But it came to him. Oh, my dear friend, I had no idea of the work of Christ for me. I had no idea. I couldn't imagine what God would do for me. It's a bit like that first call we get, isn't it, when we come to him by grace. No idea. Well, he knew me, of course, before I knew him. He loved me, you see. He loved me. I only love him because he loved me. I only work for him because he knew me. Because he wanted to use me. There's nothing in me, my dear friends, that nothing in me that anyone should desire. But he had his hand upon me. He had his hand upon Elisha. That's it. I want you to notice how powerful this call was to Elisha. It came from God. That's the most powerful call that we can have. It comes through human means. It came through Elijah. But as he cast his mantle upon Elisha, that symbolic gesture, that token of the Holy Spirit being upon him, God did the rest. But it was more than symbolic. There was power. There was power, you see. It was in the Spirit which God had brought that fell upon Elisha. Remember that story of Moses with Joshua? Moses, lay your hand upon Joshua. You see? God using men that the Holy Spirit might come upon them. But something touched his heart. It wasn't the mantle that touched the outward side. It wasn't the mantle that held his body. There was something that touched his heart. It was the secret power of God. That's it. The secret power of God. There was no external persuasion. There was just this simple token. The persuasion came from within. And it was the hand of God that touched the heart of Elisha. You know, we are all made willing, as I said in my prayer, in the day of his power. We get this from Psalm 110 and verse 3. Let me just relate that to you. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. It's God that works on man and in man. Elisha resolves to go then, but asks for time to bid adieu to his parents. He was to sit down and count the cost, and this is the cost that it cost Elisha to leave mother and father to follow the heavenly calling. What a cost that is, and an earthly cost. But he received that call gladly. You know, Matthew made a great feast before he received and went. When he received a call, he left his job, his occupation. Now, there is a call that comes to a man's heart that we call the effectual call. The effectual call. That is, by nature, we are sinners. And God calls us, and we must come. Now, here was a similar call to Elijah, inasmuch as he was compelled to come. He could not refuse Christ. The compelling force came from within, you see. It didn't come from Elijah. He was but the instrument. And Elisha arises and goes forth. That call of God is effectual in his heart. What does effectual mean? Well, it just simply means that which produces the desired effect. That which produces the desired effect. And what is that effect? What is that effect in an ordinary man? Well, that is to make that man and woman come to himself. They have to come to him when Christ calls. With his effectual call, he comes. Remember those fishermen I spoke of? Boys and girls, you'll remember them. By Lake Galilee. They didn't say not yet, not today, some other time. They left all and followed him. That's the effectual call. To come when Jesus calls. He has that desired effect on a man's life and on a man's heart. And so the mantle is spread. Elisha has that power of the Holy Spirit put upon him. But I want you to notice his loyalty. And for that we go to our story of 2 Kings, chapter 2 and verse 2. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Now we see that repeated 3 times in this chapter, in the story we read. You may have noticed it. Every time Elijah says to Elisha, tarry here, he says, I will not leave thee. He clave unto him. He cleaved to him. He held on to him, if you like. That's the force of this. We get that in Ruth, don't we? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following thee, for thy God shall be my God, you see. Elisha's God was Elijah's God. They were in the same work. His loyalty was such that he would not leave him. He must go with him. He must be in the work with him. I want you to notice where they were going. Verse 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Now I can spend the rest of the time on Bethel. But let me remind you about Bethel. It's a lovely place, as mentioned in the scripture. I must just give you some references because it's so important. Genesis 28. and verse 16. These are the words in the Old Testament, 28:16, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Where was he? Well, he was where he said in verse 19 of Genesis 28, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel. Turning over, if your finger is still in that place, to chapter 31 and verse 13. And here again we see God speaking, "I am the God of Bethel." Genesis 31, verse 13. "I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel." And then again, of course, we can read in verse 15 of that chapter 35 this time, Genesis 35 and verse 15. Again, so many references, I'll just leave this last one with you. "And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel." Now that should tell us something about Elijah and Elisha. That should mean a great deal. That they were going to that place where God was going to meet them. I wonder if you call this place Bethel. There are some strict Baptist chapels about called Bethel. But we could call them all Bethel, couldn't we? Because we meet God here, don't we? I wonder if you think, "Oh, this morning I'm going to Bethel." Well, this is where God speaks. This is the place where we meet God. So they were going to Bethel. They were going to meet God, who had given his Holy Spirit to Elisha. And in Kings 2, and chapter 2 and verse 8, and here we see Elijah sees his first miracle. "And Elijah took the mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided." Here we see a demonstration. Elisha sees a demonstration of the power of God. Oh, that power that brought the Holy Spirit upon him. Now it's demonstrated, you see, in a practical way. That mantle which is brought upon him now teaches him a lesson. "This is the power that I have for you, Elisha. This is the power that I'm going to give you fully when you see Elijah go." We could say, this is God in action, couldn't we? Through the eternal Spirit. The mantle of the Spirit of God was the power of God unto salvation for Elisha. And as Elijah smote those waters, this was the greatest demonstration Elisha could have had. That here they parted. And they went over on dry land. Just as Moses did. The power of God is still the same today as it was yesterday. And God can smite the doors of this place, Bethel, my dear friends. And these seats could be full. Don't doubt God's word. The power of God is a demonstration to us. When you came to know Christ, wasn't it a demonstration of his power? I must tell you the story very briefly, dear friends. I must tell you the story. When I was a policeman in 1972, there was a public house in Ipswich called the Ipswich Arms. It was known for prostitution, for drugs, for fights. We were always there. It was run by a man called Tom Hill. He was a terrible man. His language was vile. He ran this as he would against the law. And time again he was threatened under the law for running an improper premises. Terrible man that he was. This was in 1972. Oh, we were disgusted with this place. The place is not there now. They pulled it down and they've redeveloped the area in Ipswich. 3 Sundays ago, I sat in the Strict Baptist Chapel at Watersham, waiting for the minister to come into the pulpit. And you've guessed it, haven't you? It was Tom Hill. Tom Hill. His language was not the language of the world. It was the language of Zion. He'd moved to Wales. His wife had come under the ministry of Vernon Heim. She was saved by grace and she went home and he said, "You must come and hear Vernon Heim." And he went and he was saved too. He's a pastor of church in Harlow, one of the roughest areas. But what a blessing we received. And I felt so ashamed that this man, I thought, can never ever do anything for him. He can never ever know the doctrines of grace or anything about them. My dear friends, he knew more about the doctrines of grace than I shall ever know. That is the power of God unto salvation, my dear friends. Never doubt it. Don't fall into my trap and think it can never happen. Elijah had this mantle upon him. The Spirit of God demonstrates to him the power of God. And then in 2 Kings 2 and in verse 9, we see this, Elisha's request. And when it came to pass, when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Before I be taken away from thee, and Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. A double portion. He wasn't being greedy, my dear friends. But he saw the demonstration of that power. And that he wanted to do that for God, as Elijah did it. He had seen the working power, and he too wanted to know and to do what God had asked. He doesn't ask for wealth, he doesn't ask for honour, he doesn't ask to be set free from his present troubles, and we've all got them. He asks for a double portion of God's Spirit upon him, so that he might be qualified to work in God's service. Let it be upon me, he says. Not from Elijah, but from God, you see, you understand. And he asks for this extra special portion to carry on Elijah's work. Oh, it was tough for Elijah, my dear friends. You can read the scripture. It's going to be tough for Elijah, isn't it? And by God's appointed time, his time, not Elijah's time, not Elijah's time, in God's time, he wanted that double portion to be his. And small though that mantle in value was, small though it was powerful, the Spirit working, Elisha's confirmation. Notice, and we won't go into the story, but it came, didn't it? We read it today. That time came and that mantle fell. This was Elisha's confirmation. Christ did that was which his disciples had so long after. The tongues of fire, remember? Mantle for Elisha. Tongues of fire for the disciples. I wanted that hymn this morning, but there's so many hymns I wanted in your hymn book we'd be singing all the time. Our blessed Redeemer. Ere he breathed his tender last farewell, the guide, the comforter bequeathed with us to dwell. That mantle that fell from Elijah when he was taken out was that same mantle, dear friends, that was cast upon him when he ploughed. Not two mantles, just one mantle. And that same Holy Spirit that came when he was at the plough fell upon him when Elijah went. He took up the mantle. Dear friends, when Elisha stood underneath Elijah and he saw those horsemen and that chariot of fire, he rent his clothes. He took them off. He was absolutely naked. Elijah didn't want anything. He threw his mantle away. He was going to be clothed with the righteousness of God in heaven. Elisha threw off his old clothes and put on that mantle, which was a spirit, an emblem of the Spirit of God. You know, when we received the Holy Spirit, when we first came to Christ, and we received the Holy Spirit, we threw off our old clothes, didn't we, as it were, spiritually. We received the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that came upon us. And now we're clothed with righteousness, God's righteousness, for us. Now he has the mantle of Elijah. And he comes to the river. You notice the same river? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He takes off the mantle and he strikes the water. He knows the power of God. God uses it again, you see. But I want you to notice this in 2 Kings 2 and verse 23. He went, Elisha went up from thence. And where's he going? He's going back to Bethel. He's going back to Bethel to meet God again and to meet the children of the prophets. This is a sacred spot for him. This is a sacred place. And this is a place where he wants to be with God. Now, this has been very sketchy about Elisha, because it's really a series, and I'm not here for the rest of the week, am I? But my dear friends, can you see the working of the Holy Spirit upon Elisha? From the ordinary man about his ordinary task, doing a mammoth task for God, only and through the power of the Holy Ghost upon him. And yet he meets God every time at that place called Bethel. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed. Through all this weary pilgrimage, thy people still are led. And I think my point this morning is this, that we can do nothing without Christ. Without me you can do nothing, he says in John 15. Without God we can do nothing. And without the Holy Spirit we can do nothing. I was saying just before the service, there are men, and I'll mention a denomination, I'm not afraid, the Church of England, who do no longer believe in the Trinity. But here we see demonstrated in this story of Elisha, God the Father, Christ the Son, and him the Holy Ghost, that came upon Elisha so that he could work for God. Go and anoint Elisha. He will be in your room. He will be in your stead. He will be when you go to glory. He will be here. And when us who are older pass on, we trust that there are those who will carry on the work in this place, Bethel, where they will meet God again. We trust that will be so. For Scripture tells us until he comes again, his work must go on and will go on until he comes to this poor old earth.